Good evening and thank you for coming tonight. Would you stand and join Mary Ann in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, can you call roll, please?
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Steele.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Wiesen.
Here.
Thank you. This leads us to public comments. During public comment, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item at the time that item is called for discussion. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter, and any clarifying questions will come through the chair. Thank you very much. We had a presentation, I believe it has been canceled. Just speed the meeting up. We have a director's comments. Kevin, any comments?
Nope.
Chris?
Nope.
Bill?
Nope.
Marianne?
Nope.
We're flying. Consent calendar. If there's nothing needs to be removed, can I get a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Business and action items. F1, consideration and approval of leash-free dog park at the Discovery Bay Community Center. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item has been before you a number of times, and as Farron works her way up to the podium, this was last before you, I believe it was June the 18th, and at that meeting, Director Graves was not present, and so this will be actually the first time that he's had a chance to see this presentation relative to an alternative dog park location at the community center. So with that, Farron, go ahead and do your presentation.
We can start that. Because I've talked about this so many times, I'm not going to get back into all of the details. If you have questions over some of the past history of it, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Today we're looking specifically at doing a small renovation to the area on the northeast side of the community center behind the tennis courts.
That would be the area directly across the
street. So the highlighted area in the yellow is what we're looking at. The area is fenced all the way around with the exception of those those red highlighted lines between and around the tennis court. So there's very little fencing that would need to be added here to enclose the area. There is a basketball court in fairly poor condition up there that would need to be addressed. We'd probably need to fill some sand in to the cracks, blend the edges around so it wasn't a trip hazard. I don't mean leaving sand on top, I just mean filling in the cracks. There's also a lot of trees that are dead and have broken limbs in them that would need to be removed and trimmed for safety reasons. This is some samples of the trees as they exist today in the back. They're fairly large. It would take several days to get through. Again, in the smaller ones, which are much easier to remove. Here's the basketball court, the cracking we're talking about. The edges of this court where it blends into the turf also need some work. This is what we're looking at as far as costs and fundraiser goals. We are not asking for any money from the Community Center Fund or Zone 8 funds. This would be done completely by community fundraisers. Eric Sheffield has come in before, a resident of Discovery Bay, has offered services, and I know he's been making connections in the meantime, in anticipation and hope that this would move forward. So we're looking, our goal would be about $5,000. Right now we're looking about $4,300 to make the repairs. That would include volunteer lunches, our staff time, the sand on the courts, fencing material, core drilling for the fences, and then a dog water connection out there. Now we wouldn't be putting a drinking fountain in. The cost associated with having drinking water all the way out there, we'd also have to bring sewer to drain it, so we'd be mostly looking for a refillable, let's say like large trough, like for the dogs. It'd be on autofill and it'd just come off of one of the basketball court hose bibs. So the dogs would have water, the people would have to go inside. questions on this particular project or history or anything else that's going on with the dog park in the past or future?
Speaking about the clearing of the trees, that's probably something that should be done anyway, as that poses a potential hazard for
yes.
kids or anything that are back there.
Yes.
Has there been much communication among some of the dog owners and staff at all as far as this particular location?
We originally, when we talked about this at Earth Day, there were a number of supporters on this. We've had community meetings about other locations before, not specifically this one. I can tell you the Slifer Park project is still on the table as well. That hasn't really gone away. So having dog parks has been a significant discussion in the parks department here over a number of years. You know, several years ago, we had a dog attack at Cornell. People were up in arms at that time. Why don't we have an area? You know, we need to have some leash laws, which we enacted, but, you know, are hard to enforce. This is really a better solution than just passing an ordinance to fine people for not putting their dog on a leash. So yes and no.
Is this going to be geared to like 30-pound and under dogs or small dogs, or is this just going to be all dogs?
I believe that there's no way to separate this. I think it would be all dogs. We already have people coming and letting their dogs run in this area now. They're fairly large dogs. I think for the most part, people who bring their dogs to the parks are people who normally walk their dogs, and they're pretty well behaved. We haven't had any problems. Even the Cornell Park incident was once in the whole time I've been here have we heard anything like that, you know, so it would be mixed. Now, looking, I'm just going to jump over, even though we're not discussing it tonight, the Slifer Park dog park that we've had conceptuals on before had a split area,
right.
So small and large.
One more, I've had a couple of last community events. I was talking to some of our neighbors, and they couple business owners, including veterinarians and people who are in the animal business, who generously support these costs. And I think that there's good fun. There's money out there, so it wouldn't only cost our board.
Yeah, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, only because I forgot to mention that there was a sponsorship form in your agenda package tonight, which included selling signage that would be attached to the tennis courts there as a way of fundraising. And there's specific size signs, and we would determine, you know, the size and the material and based upon their donation level. But that was in there, and that is something we're looking to do as far as fundraising as well, you know, outside of just donations.
Why would we want to keep the basketball court, basketball, in the place where it is right now if it's damaged? Is there any intention of ever doing anything other? We couldn't use that as a basketball court without redoing the whole thing anyway.
It's not.
And
yeah.
I know it wouldn't be necessarily cheap to remove that at this point, but is it just totally cost prohibitive to remove the basketball court completely?
Yeah. With our budgets as they stand today.
Okay.
Because you'd have to fill as well, so you take out
and
you'd have to refill, you'd have to fix the irrigation, you'd have to off-haul. It's a lot of work to remove that.
If we could get a donation for that, would that be something wrong?
Well, then we'd have to get a donation for the irrigation that we'd have to backfill, we'd have to bring soil in. I mean, they're sod.
I thought it was just the top of the hill. I didn't realize it was.
Well, no, I mean, it is, but you're going to have construction activities that go back there. Once you take off that area, it's going to be just dirt.
You have a pipe or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Good for the dogs, because it trims their nails as they run.
I keep looking at Bernie. Bernie approached me probably 6 months ago on the idea of renovating that basketball court as a community project from Veolia Corporation. They might be willing to do. And when this came up, we started looking at different alternative type of projects that they might be able to get involved in. And as I'm sitting here thinking about it, this might be a great project for Veolia, if they're still willing to do that. And Bernie's back there nodding his head. So I think that we will have some commitment from Veolia on this as well, and maybe that will provide the additional extra funding in order to remove the basketball court.
Yeah, maybe get a backhoe.
Friend, we've never had a fenced dog park where dogs are off-leash all fenced in together like this. What's our liability if one dog attacks another and kills it there?
Well, I think it's at their own use. The same thing, I mean, you look at the city of Brentwood, even the same thing as skate parks, you post signs, releases your liability, it's your responsibility, you know, by using this park, you know, we're not liable, you use it at your own risk. I think maybe our attorney would have better verbiage for that or a better answer, but I know that they exist and that there is a release when people use them.
That keeps off work.
Yeah, there's actually statutory language that you can post at dog parks. There's been a lengthy history of cases regarding dog parks and trying to make an attempt to remove liability. You've got the liability in terms of trip and fall as you would with any food center, but in terms of one dog attacking another, they're using it at their own risk.
Excellent. Any other comments? Public comments?
I brought one thing along, which, Farron, I'll give you a copy of. This is just another idea for a fundraiser. And this actually is already in Discovery Bay where they're hanging the locks on the fences. So potentially to hang the locks on the fences and charge $25 for I Love My Dog might be another, just a thought,
sure,
to throw out to raise more revenue.
Okay, so you need a motion. Well, the motion would actually be to obtain volunteer funds, wouldn't it? Because this would not go forward without it.
The recommended action is to approve the site location, let us go back and work with groups, community groups that have expressed interest, including Veolia, and come back to the board in an approximate 60-day time frame and provide an update to you at that point in time.
I guess so. It wasn't clear on how we maintain that. In other words, I know the owners are supposed to pick up after their dogs, etc., but I'm sure it doesn't always happen. So I guess the staff's going to have to do that.
We have to do that now. We do that now.
So it's.
It would be the same. We already mow the area weekly. We still irrigate it. They still clean up because there are dogs there. We do already have dog stations for the community center.
Right.
So those aren't part of this budget because we have them already and they would go up at that point in time where it's official.
So theoretically, there'd be no additional staff time or budget numbers needed to maintain this park. All right.
Okay.
Can I get a motion? Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, Darren. F2, award of contract to Saviano Company Incorporated for the Discovery Bay Community Center tennis court renovation. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Again, Farron, don't leave the podium. This item is coming to you. It was included in the budget. We had discussions with the budget prior to its adoption back in June, and I believe the recreation or the landscape subcommittee. With the community center committee, community center subcommittee. And so the community center subcommittee, Director Steele and Graves participated in discussion on this. And we originally budgeted $68,000 for the renovation of the courts. And I'm gonna let Farron go ahead and explain what the project consists of and what the budget now looks like.
Okay. So we did go out, invited three different contractors out. We've talked about this in the past with Cornell Park when we did surfacing. You can't do a comparable bid with apples to apples because every one of these surfacing contractors has a proprietary surfacing product and method that they use. So what we did trying to keep it even was ask them to come give two different types of repairs. One, the type that we did at Cornell Park where they just level everything out, they fill the cracks, and they paint a new surface on top. We've had that done at Cornell. It looks great. It's fine. The problem with the community center is that there are many of the courts, a couple in particular, that have very deep cracking that would not apply to. Your cracks would come back basically as soon as you filled them and painted and walked away for any period of time. Some of the courts are that could be an answer. A solution is just doing a fill and paint surface. So what we've done, trying to use the most of our money, was come up with a solution, looking at the contractors and their bids, to try to get the most from our money. What I'm recommending tonight, if you look at the bottom there, the bottom two courts on the left are courts 1 through 2. It continues 3, 4 on the bottom, and then 5 through 8 on the top. Courts 1 and 2 are in the worst condition. Saviano ended up being the low bidder when you look at the combination of different repair methods together. So the recommendation is to go with Saviano with a long, So there's levels of service. So you have 1 is the crack fill and surface, 2 is like a paving fabric which covers significant cracks, and then 3 is a complete resurface, asphalt resurface. I stayed away from the asphalt resurface because that's very, very expensive per court, completely out of our budget. So with courts 1 and 2, we're looking at that medium repair where they come in and they put this is not the product, but it is a sample that I received, but it's similar to this. It's a fabric that gets glued down to the surface, a paving fabric. They come over the top, there's like acrylics that come on, they blend it out, and then they do the paint surface over that. So there's an actual solid over the crack and not just a filled substance.
Is that just over the cracks only, or is that the entire court?
It would be the cracks only. The third option that they did, where you did the whole court, again, which was out of our price range, unless we just wanted to do 2 courts and leave the rest of them alone, and really what I was trying to do was get as many as we could into the best order that we could for the money that we have. But if we wanted to just say, let's do courts 1 and 2 and let's do it the right way, this is another product that we could look at. We could either do an asphalt surfacing, resurfacing, or this is a rolled product that they seam together. It's a bit thicker, and then again, that painted surface goes over the top, and it becomes a cushy, plain surface. Cracks cannot come back through that. So there are some options. They're just much more expensive. Those are very long-term options. The ones that we're presenting today, on the back 4 courts, 5 through 8, you're looking at a 1-year warranty on that. That's standard for even with Cornell Park. We had the same thing. In the condition that they're at, I think that will last us. You may get some minor cracks coming back, but it'll be playable. It'll look good. Courts 1 and 2, the warranty is the same. It's 1 year, even with the paving fabric. Because of the significance of the cracks, it's not a full solution. So the full solutions would come with a 5-year warranty. So at a much larger expense. There's also several of the posts that need to be exchanged or replaced at the courts, which include a set on court 2 and a set on court 4. And even though we're not looking at resurfacing court 4, it currently has no net and post, and at least that would make it playable at this time. So we would have 8 functional courts, 2 that were not painted, 6 that were with the current recommendation. It also requires an additional funding. I'm sorry. So our original budget for this was $68,000, which is the amount of the WW grant funding that we have left. In order to do these 6 courts, we'd be looking at spending up to another $20,000 out of the community center fund. It may or may not be depending on the contingency that we use. There could be as little as $8,000 or up to $20,000 depending on if there's any change orders or problems that occur during construction.
Perrin, can you address why 1 and 2 are in the condition that they're in versus 6, 5, 6, 7, 8?
When we purchased the property, there had been a significant water leak going on for years there. Those courts were closest to that leak, so there had been constant water. That's where the major cracks came from. If you go and walk the rest of them, they're all, courts 3 and 4 also are pretty, they're not as bad, but we're not touching them. But 1 and 2 are the ones that have the worst cracking. And virtually you hit a ball, it could skew off because the crack is lifted and so prominent. So.
Rick, how much money is the fund?
I'm glad you asked that. $445,000.
Questions?
Can you just give the board and all of us a sense of the activity level? Are the tennis courts even used?
Yes. We have tennis out there nearly every day. We have a women's league right now that reserves every Thursday. They use 5 courts. We have weekend players. We have players that come called early birds during the week. People come in all the time and are surprised that the courts are free and just come play with their husband or kids. So it is being used. There's classes that we're running there, beginning tennis for children as well as adults. So the courts are being utilized.
Very nice.
No questions.
Kevin?
Aren't the poles rotted and rusted out and the net down on court 2 also?
That's the one that we'd be replacing 2 and 4with the recommendation. With the current budget.
Is this the same company as the one that did the other part?
No, it's actually not. It's a different company. Saviano was a company that was referred to me by many of the tennis players there, and apparently a long time ago, before things kind of got out of hand at the center, they were the ones who came in and did the courts originally. Looking at Saviano's record, they're huge in the industry. They've done Olympic courts. They went to Beijing. They consult on many things. They did some of the colleges, so they're definitely qualified.
Just something else?
I was just curious as far as I know there was some, let's say, discussions, rumor that I heard, some of the tennis players were not happy with what we were doing with the courts. They have knowledge of what we're anticipating doing.
Talked to representatives from most of the groups, letting them know that this is going on tonight to share that information. I also talked to at least 2 of them about what the idea was when this was going to be presented, and that's where I got the information about contacting Saviano. That was not a company I was aware of before those conversations. As far as, you know, I'm sure that they'd love to have brand new surfaces on all of them, but they're going to look so much better. They're going to play better. This is going to be, I think, something to satisfy the majority.
So the repair work that we're proposing to do, is this realistically a 5-year, 6-year kind of thing before it starts to show up again?
Yeah, you won't have to so painting is about every 5 to 7 years depending on weather. Regardless, you should be redoing your courts every 5 to 7. The cracking is, even if the cracks come back on the back court, it's not significant enough to have a problem with play. The ones on the front courts definitely are. Even 3 or 4, 3 and 4 will need work in the future because we're not touching them right now. But 1 and 2, I have never seen this process. I can only tell you what I've heard and what the recommendations were and having conversations with the contractors. But the recommended method, even though they only warranty it for a year, they believe that it will last longer for us. So
hopefully we get 5 to 8 years. Good play.
Yeah.
Address it again.
20 years out of these broken.
They played on broken.
What's the time frame for doing this?
As soon as we, if this was approved tonight, we could release a contract basically as soon as they get the materials. As part of the approval tonight, we would also, and execution of these contracts, we would have to provide a payment for materials, and then as soon as they came in.
I'm thinking at this point, we spent so much money over there, we've done the thing, we have a pool coming up again. We've painted, we've done the building, we've done the ground, and it seems ridiculous not to do the tennis courts at this point.
Agreed.
Listen, I mean, the place is beautiful, it's got nothing but compliments everybody's using, let's make it.
And we continually improve, we continually get community support for it.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Any public here? Any public comment?
This also includes, if I'm not mistaken, replacing new windscreens where they are damaged and down.
Yeah, good.
Any public comment? Any further discussion?
Move to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Call for the vote, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Fran. Okay, now. Adoption resolution number 2014-23, establishing Internal Revenue Code Section 125 Cafeteria Benefit Plan. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you tonight is, as you had indicated, establishment of a Internal Revenue Code Section 125 Cafeteria Plan, also known as a Flexible Spending Account. This item was discussed during the budget workshop back in June, and there was some conversation on that about the cost of that. A Flexible Spending Plan is allowed under Section 125 of the Internal Revenue Code, and that allows employees the ability to defer or to use tax pre-tax dollars for qualified medical and dependent child care expenses. It's completely voluntary. It's completely at the contributions are completely at the expense of the employee. However, there is an expense to the employer, and that's approximately $1,350 or $1,342 for the first year. That's assuming it's all 14 employees participated. The difference between this program and the one we talked about the last meeting, the Aflac program, with respect to pre-tax dollars, those pre-tax dollars are relatively smaller in nature. These are much larger dollars that people would be deferring, hundreds of dollars a month. Over the course of the year, hundreds of dollars a month times the number of employees. Generally, you will see a reduction from the employer's employer taxes to cover those expenses. And so while there is an expense to the district, there should also be, we don't know what it's going to be, depends on how many people will participate and what the contribution rates are, but there will be some form of an offset, if not an entire contribution, completely covering that cost altogether. This is something that is very familiar to probably most of you. It's been around for quite a number of years. Probably the biggest question is the use it or lose it, which you may have heard of. If an employee defers, let's say, $500 over the course of a year, and they only spend $300 of it, it used to be that if you didn't submit your qualifying receipts, I think it was the end of February of the subsequent year, all those revenues, those dollars, reverted back to the employer, not back to the employee. Congress has gotten, I guess, a lot of feedback, a lot of heat over the past few years, and last year they changed that, and they give you an entire year, so you can actually spend it. If you were deferred this year and you didn't spend it all, you could actually use it in the next year so that the employee doesn't lose any money if they plan accordingly. We would roll this out, assuming the board approves it, as a mid-year plan. It would generally be a July 1 or January 1 to December 31 plan, but we would probably roll it out pretty quick if the board approves it tonight. Just have a short year, and there's no additional cost. Some of the other companies we were talking with and discussing this with, they had charges for partial year plans, and we didn't want to go in that direction. And as it turned out, TASC, which is called Total Administrative Services Corporation, they're fairly large. They don't have that sort of a charge, and they ended up actually being the lowest cost provider of all. So if you have any other questions, there's some backup materials of that. We'd be sure to help. We'd be happy to answer them.
I have a question. Will they provide a debit card for the staff to use to control their monies?
Yes, they provide a prepaid. Put cash in it. It's a Visa or MasterCard. I believe it shows up in the attached materials there. Yeah, it's a Visa card.
But it's very similar to a health savings account in the private sector.
This is offered in the private sector also. It's very similar to a health savings account, yes.
Any questions?
what are the cost? I mean, there's $1,300. Can we just allocate that to all the participants so that there's no district cost on this?
The program, the Internal Revenue Code, does not allow that. It is an employer-provided benefit. It is $6.50 per month per employee, so $78 per year. If all 14 employees participated, it would be $1,092 a year, along with an annual renewal fee of $50, so for $1,142 a year. Like I indicated, I participated in these in the past. I've had a number of other employees, and the savings are can be significant, about 25 to 30%, and that goes back to savings to the employer from payroll taxes that are lowered as a result. Like I said, I don't know what it's going to be. It depends on the participation and how much they contribute.
Our portion of it, if we would say, would be our share of the Social Security tax.
Social Security, whatever the...
That's the only one we contribute to, is out of it. FICA, right? It's a lot of contributions to make up $1,300. Let me ask you this, Rick. How many employees have approached you and told you that they want this plan? Out of 14.
It was discussed it was brought up in a staff meeting, and there was support, there was interest to pursue something like this, because we do have a number of employees that have children in child care that would qualify, situations, as well as being able to contribute towards a medical situation as well. It covers co-pays and prescriptions and that sort of thing.
I had a plan here last month that didn't cost the district anything.
It's totally different
thing. And now you're bringing us a plan that cost the district money. And I'm not clear on what the disadvantages are of choosing the plan that has no fiscal impact. Why are we brought a plan now after we got a plan last month that said, hey, here's a plan that's great. You bring them in, present it to us, and it says, it doesn't cost you anything. And now you're bringing us a plan that costs us something. I don't understand the strategy there.
Well, we had originally wanted to bring them concurrently to the board, but we were unable to do so just due to logistical and timing issues. So that wasn't able to happen. They're two completely different plans. One is a supplemental insurance plan that is employer sponsored, but employee paid for. This is an employer offered program. It's a little bit different. This has to do with using pre-tax dollars for qualified medical expenses that are allowed under the Internal Revenue Code. It is allowed under...
What are you allowed to pay for? Are you allowed to pay for child care out of this fund?
Yes, you are allowed.
What do you have to do with health benefits?
The Internal Revenue Code, Section 125, provides qualified medical expenses, co-pays, prescriptions, things like that, that you can use prepaid, you can use these funds for. You would, if your prescriptions were, let's say, $50 a month, you would put $600 a year away, and you would probably only cost you $400 a year. Okay. It works the same for child care. The Congress has indicated through this code that qualified dependent care expenses are eligible to use pre-tax dollars for. In the same way, if you put $500 a month, $6,000 a year, and that's where you get your savings from an employer standpoint, when you're adding that up to $25,000 a year in deferred savings, in taxes you're not paying, would cover that. I don't know why they did it, why they combined the two. It's been this way for 25
without
years.
Without reading the entire code, your summary doesn't tell us everything that's included in it. That's why I'm asking.
Well, there's an FAQ sheet that I attached from the IRS, and it is listed on page 3 of the attack of the report.
Like almost impossible. So I work for the state of California, which is a municipality, and none of these options are available to us. Why, as a small municipality, are we feeling that we can afford to do it if the state of California can't afford to do it?
I would touch base with your HR department, and I believe that it would be available to you. It is available to almost any industry, private, public. It is a benefit that has been provided in the Internal Revenue Code. I believe this came out, I put a program together, I believe, in the early 90s.
Going back to your example, let's say, to make it simple, you take $500 out of the year pre-tax to pay your co-pay prescriptions, that type of thing. This is probably not reasonable, just say $500 for kids. And you only use $400 of it. That leftover $100, what happens to that in what they've extended to a year now?
Previously, if you didn't submit qualifying receipts that were dated 12/31 or earlier for the year, you had until February the 28th, if I recall correctly, it was 60 to 90 days, to submit them. If you didn't submit them and you left money on the table, the money would go back to the employer. It would be the money that was deferred would go back to the employer, not to the employee. Congress
changed
that.
The money deferred by the employee would go back to the employer?
They want you to manage your. They want you to manage it.
Okay.
And last year, I believe in 2013, that rule changed, and they gave you another year. So, for example, using your example, if you left $100 on the table, going into the next year, you might sign up for just $300, because you know you spent $400, you got $100 left over, and now you're going
to
spend $300.
Now you have the opportunity to spend that in the next year.
Correct. If you don't spend it by the end of the next year, you lose what was in the year prior.
Or does it roll over again?
It only rolls over once.
They just use that money at the beginning of the year.
That would be the first money you use. So then, in essence, it would roll over. So if you're $100 over, it just rolls over again. So that's the way, okay. So,
and I don't know how they track that,
yeah.
But it's done.
Is this available to an employee that is not participating in a medical plan offered by the employer? Is it completely separate from accepting medical benefits?
It is completely separate, yes.
So you could have an employee that was using their husband's or wife's medical plan, but they could still participate in this plan to pay the co-pays off of that other plan?
Yes.
They're not connected. Okay.
It's available to everybody.
Okay.
But the concern that I have here, this is a concern I've had over and over again, what was presented to us at a prior meeting is now the resolution we're voting on tonight is not what we're voting on. We're not voting on what was presented. What was presented to us was no cost to the district. Now you're telling us that was not available, but the one that we're voting on tonight is available also.
No. This is the AFLAC was no cost to the district. You've approved that. That's done, and there's zero cost to the district other than the cost of us to fill in the paperwork and submit it. That's the extent of it. There's no out-of-pocket expenses.
Two programs.
So
when this came to the board back in June, I specifically recall Director Pease asking if there was any cost to the district. And I explained, because we had some of the preliminary information, that this is the code requires that this is an employer-paid-for plan, because at the end of the day, they theoretically should be getting back the cost of the program.
So just so I'm clear, the way this came about was management went to its employees and said, hey, we're thinking about how would you feel about us offering this plan to you so you could defer your payments? It wasn't instigated by demand from the employees.
It absolutely was.
I
did not bring it to them. It came at a request of an employee. And when we discussed it at a staff meeting, there was general consensus that this would be a benefit to a number of people based on their medical and child care situations, that it would benefit moving it forward. That's why we put it in the budget. We had to do some preliminary work on it last fiscal year, put it in the budget, and are bringing it to you tonight.
I think this is a very inexpensive way to add some more employee perks, if you will, or benefits of working here. They now have another opportunity to help save themselves some money. I'm fully supportive of it.
Okay.
Any other comment? Public comment? There's no other comments?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you.
Second. Oh, did you second?
I got a second and a third. Yeah. Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. I'll just read it off here. F4, adopt a resolution 2014-22 establishing fiscal year 2014-15 Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District Capacity Fee Program. Staff.
This is back to you again. Unfortunately, this was before you at your last meeting on September the 3rd. You adopted the capacity fee program moving forward. As you recall, we adopted fees in the amount of $16,630. At that meeting, there was a memo that was distributed to the board, and it was presented by Tom Gaffney from Barger Wells Associates, who recommended the board increase by $100 the wastewater capacity fee. The board took that action, and I felt it was appropriate to bring it back to you to ratify that, because it was done at the last minute, so I wanted to make sure, just out of an abundance of caution. And in going through the figures with the consultant, we found that there was an error in the number of EDUs that were identified for the Hoffman Company. The 2012 report indicated that there were 284 EDUs that were allocated to Hoffman, and that is the correct number. When our consultant provided that information, provided updated information to Barter Wells, they provided preliminary 2012 information, which was 213 EDUs. So there was a discrepancy in the number of EDUs that went to the board at the last meeting, and this corrects that error. And so it ends up having an additional total increase with the $100 that you had already approved at the last meeting. It correctly represents what the reality is, which is an additional $150 on the water EDU side. This has to do with the agreements that were previously entered into with the Hoffman Company and the district back in the early days of the district, and I think maybe even prior to the district's, when it was San 19, with us. Okay. In any event, there was committed capacity to Hoffman, and so we need to make sure that we address that appropriately, and this action does that.
What, did you say 16.3 something?
Our capacity fees, combined water and sewer moving forward, are recommended at $16,880.
Okay, I misunderstood. I think it's at 63.
I did. That was what was approved the other night,
okay.
About 2 weeks ago.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Any discussion?
Almost 600.
Yeah. It went from 16.3 to 16.8?
16.630. 1680, and 100 of that was authorized previously by the board.
Wow. This whole thing has just been a debacle as far as I'm concerned. I'm not pleased at all with any of the way that we came up with these numbers. You keep bringing them back in front of us, they keep going up. We can't get the numbers right. I don't understand how we could be so inept at putting together these studies. That's all I have to say. Unbelievable.
Chris? Bill?
I believe it's a very complicated process, and I think that the manager and staff have done a good job of being very open and honest and bringing it back to us in a public fashion, so I'm not disappointed at all. That fees go up, I hate to see them go up. The costs are what they are, and we have to stay current.
Marianne?
No comment.
Public comment?
I would like to address it a little bit further in the sense that you have no idea the angst when it was recognized that the EDU's count from the prior report was incorrect. And that was something that was missed. And as the manager, I take full responsibility for it.
I'm not pointing fingers.
But I do want to make sure that the board knows that this could have easily have been swept under the table. But that's not the way, you know, I operate. And I thought it was best to correct it as soon as we recognize the error, and we're bringing it to you at the very next meeting.
Thank you. Completely understand. I have one more comment.
Yeah,
I completely understand that, and with all due respect to everybody else's opinion, the fact is that it's not complicated to use the right facts going in. That's not a complicated situation. When you do the math and you report what the numbers are, you use the right numbers. This was not a complicated formula. This was just a matter of not using the right numbers. And again, I think my frustration comes in the fact that I don't believe we used the right process throughout the whole thing.
There were 9 different versions of it, and one just got dropped into the wrong one.
I'm not pointing fingers.
It was something that was unfortunate.
Can I get a motion, please? Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Thank you. F5, purchase of motor control, center control panel for the secondary improvements capital improvement project.
Thank you. As Greg works his way up to the podium, this item is part of the large project that we're working on right now, the oxidation ditch clarifiers. And I'm going to let Greg go ahead and explain what the MCC will do for us.
Yes. As you know, we bid the general contract for the construction of the secondary improvement project, and it's under construction now. And previously, Veolia had provided us electrical control panels at a reduced cost with their national purchasing agreements, and that was anticipated on the secondary project. When Veolia is restructured and did things, it took us a while to get back on track. And so this panel was slated for Veolia to be provided, but it took us a while to reconfigure how we're going to purchase and how it's going to occur in a more friendly manner than what's been happening because of all the changes at Veolia. So essentially what we've done is gone out and sourced a direct supplier, Telstar. It would still be purchased by Veolia, but instead of Veolia trying to put a bunch of pieces together for us, we're just going to have a sub-supplier do all the work and simply run through Veolia. And by doing that, we get their national discount, but then we're not relying on Veolia staff to build something for us anymore. We're just going to have a very straightforward contract, and that's what's here for you tonight. There was some question about some of the optional items. We're only buying the panel and programming services for the $198,000. The 2 optional items are currently already in the general contract for general contractor provide. I have the time, I wanted to get a cost for those in case there was an issue or if there was a contract usage on a contract. But in terms of what's being provided, it is just the control panel and the programming related to SCADA and the control panel. It's about $198,000 plus tax. And this PLC controls all the equipment. So it controls the oxidation ditch, controls the rotors, controls all the sensors, and runs the plant. That's what this does.
Is this the amount we set up for budget?
What's that?
Was this set up in the budget at 198?
Yeah, so when I gave the master plan update cost, the budget cost, what was it, last month?
Yeah.
We had budgeted $250,000, and that was included in the numbers I presented to you 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. So this is coming in less. Originally, I wasn't sure if those add-on items were, if I had to pick them up or not, so I budgeted $250,000. But they're in the general contract, so we don't need them. So the budget's $200,000, and it is included in your update you got.
Any questions?
No questions? Do we have to pay the $10,000 and the $8,000 also?
Really?
No, the $198,000 plus tax. That's what the contract
we have. The other 2 items.
The other 2 are optional items.
Okay.
Public comment? Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, so just how it contracts. We're basically going to tell Veolia we're going to reimburse them. And that's basically what's going to happen. So Veolia will contract for it through Telstar, but the town will reimburse Veolia when they submit invoices to us.
Okay, there's no other questions. Can I get a motion? Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, informational items. District financial statement report. Community Center Financial Review.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Mr. President, as you recall, I sent you an email last week indicating that this would more than likely not be discussed this evening due to the significant illness that afflicted our finance manager, and she was out all week last week and the Friday before that. We're working on it. She's working on it. I saw a draft of it late this afternoon. I was hoping to be ready to go. It's not. We'll be coming back to the next meeting. However, our year end, not the community center year end, but the town year end, everything else resulted in a surplus, albeit a small one, but there was a surplus nonetheless, so we will end up having the contribution reserves. And the community center, we'll go ahead and get that to you when it'll be on the next agenda. And personally, I don't think it looks too bad, but there's still some numbers we're still trying to figure out. When you throw the renovation of the building itself, the renovation of the swimming pool, and all the work we did there, we did exceed the budget a little bit by June 30. And we're also working on the numbers from July and August, and we should have September in place for the next time we meet as well. So I apologize for that, and she's back and healthy.
Thank you. Veolia report. How are you, Bernie?
Good, thank you. Practices, safety training. We do safety training once a week. We had no operational training this month. All monthly reports were submitted on time. On the water side, water numbers are continuing to drop with the drought issues and the conservation going on. We only used a little bit over 121 million gallons this month of the month of August. So the numbers are continuing to drop. Dry weather, less water being used means less water being treated. On our wastewater side, you can see our average inlet flow has dropped to about 1.2 million. It was at around 1.3. So, I'd say less water used, less water treated. We're still well in our parameters. The month of August, we started with our new permit limitations and moving forward that with no issues. On our permit side, no issues, no violations. All lift stations are running properly. We started our flushing in the month of September. This month, this week, you'll see the truck around. We're finishing up the flushing program. Hope to get the rest of the sewer lines. Over the last 3 years, we've got about 75% of the town flushed and TV. We'll finish hopefully that up by the end of the year. And everything in the town of Discovery Bay will be flushed and TV, so we'll have good records there. And on the maintenance side, continue to do work orders, preventive maintenance, and corrective action work orders. The backlog is coming down. And we had 8 general call outs, and it's a good month.
Hey, Bernie, can I ask you for the next month's report on the water? Can you do a comparison, not only month to month, but 2013 and 2014?
Sure. Thank you. You can add that.
Sure, question.
Yeah, how, lift station F, I know we had a little bit of electrical stuff that PG&E had to come out and do. Are we up? Has that been taken care of? Or
I spoke to Greg about that yesterday, and it's too bad he just left. PG&E gave him the go-ahead. They're running it. He's running it through his electrical engineer right now. Assuming what PG&E gave him direction on, and it'll hold the loads, we should have that corrected. I don't know the timing on it, but it's a lot quicker. It was originally going to be about 4 to 6 weeks, and it's going to be a lot quicker than that.
We've got a new pedestal in. We can take some measurements and some wire to make sure we got enough, but we should be moving pretty quickly now.
They don't normally allow you to splice, but they're going to allow us to splice in some wires. So the wires are thick wires, and
we're going to add a junction box, is that's what they're doing, right? They're adding a junction box extending the cabling?
No, they are, they shrink wrap them and they put them in big metal.
Well, actually, they run the wire, to a new pedestal,
right?
And then running that into the new panel, and we finally got the blessing. PG&E couldn't do nothing, so they said, you shall go ahead, and they said, we shall go ahead, so now we're going ahead.
Right. So within the next 30 days or so, that'll be finished, and we'll ready for two pumps if needed.
Yeah.
Are we at full strength employee-wise?
Yes, we are.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, Brian.
Good job, Brian.
General Manager's report.
I just have two quick items for tonight. One is the Bay, Sand Bay Isle project, or the Sand Bay Isle issue. I've received calls from three of you on that, Director Steele, President Simon, as well as Director Wiesen, who lives in the community. As you are aware, you've seen the back trucks out there in the county and Rec 800. There's a clog in a storm drain, and as the lake over there would fill up, instead of draining through pumps that Rec 800 runs through it. We found out yesterday that there was an unknown domestic municipal water line that went in there that is actually feeding the lake. It's our water line. We did not know about it. It didn't show up on any plans. We don't know when it was connected to the lake, but it's providing water into the lake, as is Rec 800. And as it overflows, it goes into the storm drain, drains back down into the delta, into the lakes down on the golf course. So we just found that out yesterday. So part of the problem is ours. What's interesting about that is we don't know how it happened. We don't know when it took place. It's our guess that it took place with the construction, when it was initially constructed, and whether there was an action to do it without acknowledgement took place. We have no idea what happened when they built it 20 some odd years ago. And so we're just trying to get it resolved and get it wrapped around it right now, and we'll hope to have more information to you soon.
Is it turned off?
We cannot turn it off because those, for example, as Rick indicated, there are 3 2-inch lines coming from our main to that development. Actually, there are five, but these three in general. And based on our drawings that are as-built, and if you're familiar, as-built are as-built and not construction drawings. So the as-built show two of those going directly to feed 15 condo units there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we shut those off going to the condo units, it also shuts the supply going to the lagoons. So meaning that...
So you mean it has to go through the houses and into the lagoons?
It serves both, yes. It serves both the houses and
the lagoons. Or at least the Y is after the shutoff valve.
It's somewhere beyond the backflow. That generally the owners, like your home, you own it behind the meter up
right.
to your house.
Right.
Somehow behind that backflow, it got cross-connected, and didn't matter which backflow I shut off, water still went through.
We can only suspect that there was
some
shenanigans that maybe took place way back when that we...
How many gallons, is there any estimate on how many gallons you think we're putting into the lagoon on a daily basis?
Yeah, I'll come up with that figure probably tomorrow or the next day.
Do we know where that two pipe come into the lagoon?
We do not. I do not know that. I've been working with the HOA president and a company they call Waterworks, I guess, is under contract to maintain that lagoon yesterday and today, mainly today, because we found this out late yesterday when I shut down the water going to the complex, and that's when it shut down the water going into the lagoon. So then we said, now we have a problem. Now I need to turn the water on so those 15 homeowners have water. But you need to find a way to stop that water from going to the lagoons. And so we've been working on that today, and I don't know where, when. I mean, we're going to apply the pressure to them. If they can't seem to find a valve, which we spent a lot of resources today, trying to locate a valve that might isolate the 15 homes from the lagoons, we did not, nor did they. Tomorrow, it's another day. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but the next thing would probably be is to try to find the line, dig it up, put a valve, make sure it isolates the lagoons versus the condos.
Yeah, just put it in.
I mean, I've lived there roughly almost 5 years, and we've never, up until this backup of water. Recently, we never had anything like that happen. So something occurred, possibly that blockage that caused.
The blockage, well, that probably
that's irrelevant as far as I'm concerned. I don't really care about the blockage if that's not supposed to be our water. What I'm concerned about is how many thousands of gallons have been sent over there that nobody's paid for.
Or even we're even aware of.
Yeah. Well.
And paid for.
And paid for.
Or paid for. That's correct.
I want to know, is there a backflow device that's protecting the homeowners from that lake water?
Not the homeowners there, but it is from...
Those five lines have got backflows on them?
Pardon me?
Those five lines you've identified have backflow devices on them to protect the rest of our town?
Okay. But it doesn't isolate homeowners in there.
That's wow. That's a problem.
I think we definitely need to find this.
Pardon me?
We definitely need to find this.
Oh, absolutely.
Red tag.
The problem.
Oh, yeah.
And resolve it.
Yeah. We're just trying to do is isolate the lagoons from the homeowners right now. And find a way, a valve. If no valve is there, then we'll dig it up and put a valve.
You will keep the board advised on this, I'm sure.
I'll keep it advised.
Just one last item. Oliver's going on vacation tomorrow for 2 weeks. He's going to visit his daughters, or his sisters, I guess. And I will be back, and I'm leaving. I'll be gone Friday and Monday, but I'll be back Monday. And I'll be back in the office on Tuesday morning. I fly back Monday night, Monday afternoon.
Thank you. District Legal?
Nothing for me.
Thank you.
We have no committee updates, correspondence. We have, is there any questions on correspondence? No. Public records request, we had one, Transparent California. Any future agenda items, Kevin, Heather? Chris?
Not this time.
Bill?
Not at this time.
There you go.
Not right now. Oh, I do. Just passing on, just so everybody knows about the Festival of Trees. I know that Farron brought it up when she listed the items that were coming up. But this is a fundraiser that's going to be split between nonprofits and the community center. So a person will be able to bring in a tree. 80% of the fund would go to whatever nonprofit, like some gave all. If they wanted to put up a tree, 80% would go to that foundation, 20% to the community center. And it's going to be the 3rd through the 15th. So if you know of anybody who'd like to help, Kaleidoscope's going to have a box of its trees.
It's not actually a future agenda item, but...
It's already going to happen.
Do you want it to come back to the board under future agenda items, or is that just an informational item?
It's just informational.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you for coming.
See ya.